All right, good morning, everyone. I don't know if I need this, but I'll use it anyway. Oh, because we are recording. So good morning. My name is Tim Flood. I'm on the Adult Ed Committee, and I'm on session. And welcome, everyone, to the next in our continuing series, Hearing from All Corners of Our Community. We are very excited today to welcome Dr. Farshiana Adeneri-Sikota. She's from Indonesia at the... I have this here. If you saw it in the program, she is a mission co-worker from PCUSA who serves at the Duta Wacana Christian University in Indonesia, in Yogyakarta. She holds degrees in religion, theology, and a PhD in anthropology. So currently, Farshiana is one of the visiting scholars at the Overseas Ministries Study Center at PTS, and is excited to visit Presbyterian churches during her nine-month stay in the U.S., sharing her work and ministry in a multi-faith setting. So, reminder that Indonesia is a majority Muslim community country. So, when not traveling, Nassau will be her home church, and we're very excited to welcome her. Please, let's welcome Dr. Farshiana.
Thank you, Tim. I have my own micro speaker. I hope everybody can hear. Do you think I should take my mask?
If you're comfortable.
Comfortable? Okay. So you can see my real face. Sorry. Because of the regulation in Indonesia, we still have to use masks. Here you have a lot of freedom. Okay, good morning. Do you have a custom to start with pray? Would you like one of you to pray? Because you're going to hear my voice and it's better to have another person to pray. Or you would like me to pray in Indonesia? Yeah? Okay. Let's pray. Tuhan, Allah kami yang bertakhta dalam kerajaan surga, dalam Yesus Kristus dan Roh Kudus. Kami bersyukur karena pagi ini kami bisa berkumpul bersama untuk berbincang-bincang tentang pelayanan Tuhan di Indonesia. Kiranya Engkau hadir dalam percakapan kami, sehingga kami hanya akan mengingat Engkau kebaikan dan kasih-Mu kepada seluruh dunia, ciptaan-Mu dan penyelamatan-Mu. Dalam nama Yesus ku berdoa. Amin. That is my language, Indonesia. But I also speak Javanese. Today, this morning, I would like to present my talk in English so everybody can hear. There is a gentleman here speak Indonesian, and you spoke with me. I was surprised. What is your name?
Alex.
Alex, yeah. Thank you so much for welcoming me with my language this morning. As you know, my name is Farshiana. When I introduce to children, I say Farshiana. Far to be seen, close in your heart. I'm a Presbyterian mission co-worker who has served together with my husband in Indonesia for many, many years. My husband already retired 4 years ago, and now I'm the only one Presbyterian mission co-worker in Indonesia. Anybody now, where is Yogyakarta? Do you know where is Yogyakarta? Jawa Tengah. Alex said that Yogyakarta is located in Central Java, Jawa Tengah. So this is the picture of Indonesian map, and Yogyakarta is here. So it's Java Island, one of the very populated island in the world. Very, very crowded. And this is Yogyakarta, where I serve in Indonesia. And do you know where is Indonesia in the map of world order? So this is Indonesia. We are here in Yogyakarta, and now we are in up here, right? Oh, another side of this. Oh, look at that.
We're on the right side of the
U.S. U.S.? Oh, see, my geography is, this is Europe, right?
This is, we're here.
Oh, we are here. Oh, wow, that's, see that? So this is Florida Peninsula, and yeah, and this is the very big, U.S. in this area, right? So if you put the Indonesia and the U.S., Indonesia is archipelago, island, and U.S. is just, you know, plain, mountain, and river, and beautiful landscape. So this is, you already have a geographical understanding of the position of Indonesia. I'm glad that I make mistake, so everybody aware about how big is it, the world. So Columbus was looking for the Spice Island in Indonesia. Do you know that? The Spice Island is located in Indonesia. So this is the Spice Island in this area. There's another little archipelago, you know, thousands of island. When he end up to find the American continent. So you have idea how old is the island, right? So it's already there before there was a United States of America, right? So that's very ancient culture that has grown in Indonesian archipelago when the Westerner trader discovered the trading network between the Arab, the Persian trader that traveled to the area and also the Indian. If you are visited Indonesia beside Bapak Alex, anybody has been in Indonesia before? Oh, okay, where did you go?
I was in Jogja.
Jogja.
And Bali.
So you visit many tourist sites, like Borobudur, yeah?
Borobudur, yes.
Prambanan.
Yeah, my motorcycle.
Oh, with motorcycle, that's amazing. That is the good way to learn about the area, yeah? And you didn't afraid of being hit or by people?
We managed.
Because you run like a fish, yeah?
It was wonderful country.
Which year, ma'am, you were there?
Mid-70s.
Oh, mid-70s, yes. I was maybe just at elementary school. Okay, Indonesia got independent from the Japanese and Dutch colonizer in 1945. And when Indonesia declared independent, Indonesia could have decided to have an Islamic state, you know, because at the time, Islam has been in the area for a long time, and the Dutch encountered Islam when it arrived. And some discussion about the state ideology has brought to that consideration, but founding father decided to not. Because they know that Indonesia is very multicultural, you know. Sukarno was the first president of Indonesia. He was put in the prison, island prison, in many places out of Java, Sumatra, Nusa Tenggara, which is the island close to Bali. In Ende, he got the idea of Pancasila. So Ende was the birth island for the Indonesia concept and ideology. So he understood that Indonesia is a layer of religion, community. And he said, okay, we have to be different from other country, even we were, most of people at the time, already embraced Islam. So Pancasila is a five principles that guide the value, morality and practice of Indonesia people. And this is Pancasila. Pancasila means five principles, and it's carried in the eagle. Some people, they compare between American eagle and Indonesia eagle. It's a Javanese eagle. And the first, this is their symbol. The first one is star. This is not the David star, but Indonesia star has a five. That's mean belief in the one and only God. And then the second one is this one. Kemanusiaan yang adil beradab. This one. Kemanusiaan yang adil beradab. The change. Just and civilized humanity. And then this one is the Bayan tree. That symbolize the unity of Indonesia. And the head of the cow?
Fox.
Ox is symbolized democracy led by wisdom in representative and deliberation. And then the fifth is social justice for all of the people Indonesia. So these four principles, and this Sultan Hamid II, he the one who draw the eagle with the symbol 17, 8, and 45. That is sign of the death of Indonesia, the date of Indonesia independent. So I will not spend all time there. But when I came to be invited to join my husband's ministry, I got my PhD from the Netherlands in 2005. And then I, at the time, I already wrote my dissertation about conflict and social conflict and religious conflict in North Maluku between Muslim and Christian. And so I was invited, and I said, I have to ask God what the direction of my ministry. And God sent me the puzzle from a Bible that become my core of my ministry. And this is say about Word of God, basic of a ministry of reconciliation. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us two texts of reconciled people to him. So that is ministry of reconciliation. So we wonder why ministry of reconciliation is needed in Indonesia that has a Pancasila, right? You wonder, I already show about Pancasila, why? So I, as I explained that I started with writing my dissertation about conflict in North Maluku, and during the process of conflict that I discovered, there was some of acknowledged among the people that Christianity was spread by colonizer. So among Indonesians, there's still some doubt of whether the Christianity is a true religion from Indonesia because it come from the colonizer, right? So, and Christian is seen as an infidel religion, it's a Dutch religion, and also sometimes we are seen as a Westerner spies, you know, because you are different. The way we dress up is different from the local. But in Indonesia, we dress up like batik. This is batik, you know. So we keep our tradition, but, you know, religion, one is it divided people, like in here, discrimination happened too. Sometimes you feel like, oh, you are different because of the color. So that is also happened in Indonesia. Even the state ideology emphasized or stated about, you know, a Panchasila, which is all equality and everybody has the same way.
In Indonesia, do women dress, Muslim women dress in Muslim garb? Do they cover or do they wear more Indonesian clothes?
Right now, all the Muslim women dress up in Muslim dress up with hijab. Some of the group are more conservative. They also have what's called murka, which only have eyes. We have in Indonesia as well.
But Christians very much stand out.
Yeah, stand out. But now there is a debate in our country because some school has enforced Christian woman student to dress up like Muslim. So, and that has been a very big discussion in the country. But you see that the discussion is open, you know, is allowed. We are discuss about our position and our right as equal as other religious group in Indonesia. So I think that phenomenon that bring me to discuss about why mission reconciliation ministry are needed in Indonesia. First of all, about the context that I like to say, spread of Christianity in Indonesia carried out during the colonial time. And the second time, this is the map, ancient map I found at the Princeton Theological Seminary about the map. And this is the, you know, the Spice Island on this side. So this is the Spice Island, this is the Papua. And so the way they make a map show the interest of the people who made the map. The second one is the conflict between Muslim and Christian during the transition of Indonesian government, especially from 1998 to 1999. And I wrote my dissertation about that. And also I facilitated a peace movement in Maluku, where brought a Muslim and Christian leader to be reconciled in Yogyakarta. So we approached the Javanese king, which is still alive in Yogyakarta, you know, have visited the Yogyakarta Palace, and he facilitated the peace between the Muslim and Christian from Maluku. And the third reason, the context of poverty in Indonesia. So, poverty, you see how crowded society in Indonesia. And conflict in Indonesia actually root in the poverty, economic conflict. Economic conflict can create a conflict that embrace people from different religious background or ethnicity. And so anybody know how many people in Indonesia?
220 million.
Right now, the last information from World Matter Elaboration of the United Nations, it say that Indonesia has 280 million people. So it's the fourth largest country in the world after United States. United States is the second, and the third. The second is India, the first is in China. And the Muslim is about 80.7%. So this is the largest Muslim country in the world. Put together all the Middle East, that's Indonesia. But there are 10% of that are Christian. So it's about almost of the total population of Malaysia. Can you imagine? And the most of Protestant are Presbyterian. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Presbyterian from Dutch Reformed Church, Calvinist. So the largest Presbyterian church in the world is Indonesia, not in America. Do you think so? That's true. Christianity is, in Indonesia is the second largest after the Philippines. Philippine Catholicism and Protestant is the first one in Asia, Indonesia. So it's a huge number of people. So please pray for Indonesia. Don't forget to pray and support Indonesian because it's huge Christian in Indonesia. And now Christian with only 10% has impact since the beginning of the country because of the negotiation between the leader of Indonesia. We didn't have an Islamic State because they negotiate about 7 words from Pancasila, the first one that give a right for Muslim to apply Islamic Sharia was taken from the first Pancasila, the principle. It was because of the Christian leader negotiate their right together with the Muslim. So since the beginning, Indonesian Christian has involved to understand how they can make a change, be light and salt in Indonesia. But the poverty is very high in Indonesia. It's about 10%. So almost as many of Christian poverty people are in Indonesia. You know, it's a lot of poverty. And this is why I concentrate in the work of my ministry to address how we can be aware of that, be aware about that. And so I would like to show some of the slide. And this is my university in the middle. When you come to university, you think that you have to teach, right? And I say to them, you know, because I was called by God to write my dissertation about conflict and working with peace movement. So now I serve in Duta Wacana. I would like to set my ministry in the Ministry of Reconciliation. Put together the university resource, student and lecturer to also work with community. Because working in university setting, you can be building a ghetto of, you know, intellectual tower, right? So that is a challenge. So what I do, I have ministry in different faculty, and right now the university asked me to join business school. So I, okay, business school. I'm not a business expert, but I'm an anthropology. I can work together. And so I'm located at Master Management and teach social entrepreneurship. So an anthropology teach social entrepreneurship to a student so they can think about what kind of business that can empower people for the sake of justice and peace in neighborhood, in the larger society. So that is why in our discussion, I have a lot of activity. I work with a student, teach them, and also created the Center for Study of Development and Social Transformation in order to work concentrated with this subject. And in 2019, we applied for a grant from Presbyterian Women. It was a very, very tight competition, and we won the grant. And they give us $52,000 for our proposal to empower people in a mountain area because they are going to face a big change when the international airport in Yogyakarta ready, and the foreigner and domestic tourists will be going to a Buddhist temple, the largest Buddhist temple in Indonesia, in the world, Borobudur, through the mountain. So we would like these Muslim and Christian in the mountain be ready to face the big transformation in the area. So this is the, you know, the map of Yogyakarta, and this is the activity in the mountain that we empower with the people in the area. And some of the product I display over there, because you can see how the people work and produce the product, and now the product are sell at the International Yogyakarta Airport. So it has to be going through the kurasi, and we pass the curation, you know, the coffee, people in the mountain, coffee, and you can see on the area, this is the tea, and, you know, we discuss about many things, coffee, tea, and chocolate, and so that is the context that I would like to discuss, and if you have a more question on that detail, I can discuss on that. And this is during the COVID, we started to change the policy and working directly with the government to advocate the budget from government to be included of the product provided by our group, because market has been declined, no selling, and so we advocate, and we were success. Also, many activity still working. They still produce that. Yeah, this is the slide of that. And this is a very good story about how Muslim and Christian working together, because Ibu Ana and this Ibu Endarmi, they are Christian. You see they're different, right? Those who don't wear hijab is a Christian. And they produce their product, but the product, in order to sell widely to society, they need a halal mark. So to get the halal mark, there are a lot of requirements they have to go through. One of the requirements is that they have to have a witness, Muslim witness, on the process of producing. So we approach their friend and neighbor to be witness for them, and you know, and they can to produce together, and they got the halal product. And this man is a Christian too, and he produced chocolate, and he got the witness from the Muslim woman and about the process. So the halal means the product is not used the instrument of production that has a fat of the pork and everything, you know, that is not permitted according to the Islamic teaching. So it's very interesting, right? So because of my work directly on the ground and for peace movement, when the book A Common Word, Muslim and Christian Understanding Common Word Between You and Us, Us and You, that was initiated by a Muslim, 130 Muslim in the world, to respond to the lecture given by Pope Benedict XVI in 2006, when he gave a lecture in Regensburg in Germany. They published this book, The First Invitation of Muslim in Dialogue Between Christians. And the dialogue is not dialogue like, you know, living together, but theological dialogue. So it's very, very deep dialogue about the dogma, you know, the doctrine. And so they invited the Christian, and this book contains a leader of Christian from Anglican, Eastern Orthodox, Catholicism, you can find online. And when it was translated in Indonesia, Indonesian scholar and Muslim leader say, we want to have our our article. Our article means the four Indonesian people. That means that they invited Christian and Muslim to write from Indonesia to write to make the additional an additional chapter for the translation of the book. And your book see over there. And they wanted to have two more chapter on development and women. So you see how important the Muslim think about development, because they wanted to be also as success as other big country in the world. And I was invited to accompany a Muslim woman scholar to write a chapter on women and transformation of religion tradition. And I brought the book there because I'm here in PTS to write my book on sustainable development, Islamic Sharia and the church in Indonesia. Last, was it Tuesday, I presented my paper at Practical Theology Colloquium on Islamic Sharia. And all professors, they were surprised, wow, there is kind of work there going on. Nobody know about what's happened in Indonesia. But that is my work. And Siti and me wrote the chapter of the book when the book was published, in the translation in Indonesia was published. And we did the discussion, book discussion, and she and me read that. When we were doing writing together, so the book has an article, but we wrote together as a Muslim and Christian in dialogue about what happened with the revelation, what happened with the church and Ummah, and what happened of the Muslim and Christian communities. They affected by our teaching and the leadership in the religious landscape among the Muslim and Christian differences. And she told me about her daughter came home one time and was worried and told her mom, "Mom, I worry about our neighbor, Aunt Betty, because I was told at the school that she will not go to the heaven when she die. And I worry, she is very kind, she loves us. How could she not go to heaven when she die? I was told at the school by my religious teacher." And my sister say, "Oh, so you heard about that, and what do you think?" "Oh no, I know that she is kind and God is just, and God will give her also a good time in heaven." And her mom say, "You know, it's what God think, not the teacher think." God is just, as you know in the Quran, God is just, and those who do the good thing will be back in God. And she said, "Yes, so our aunt will be going to the heaven?" "Yes, as you heard that." And she told me, "You know, we raise our children working and living together with Christian. If in the end they decided to become Christian or Muslim, we have to leave them." That's her. And it's happened in my ministry. My neighbor has a little girl, always come to our pendopo, talk with me, singing. We have a children program. I dance with them. I sang with them. And then when she already grew up, she decided to become Christian. You know, you never know about how God brought people to find individually faith in God through your encounter. So the Christian encounter with the Muslim is to reach people out, but not started with the bed, because Jesus say, love God with whole of your heart and your strength and your mind. Mind come number third, not number first. When you use my number first, there will be the bad. And Indonesia, we discuss that. We approach people with heart, like God love people with heart. FG, we love with heart. Heart, strength, and mind, not otherwise around. That happened in the conflict because you use mind first. And we far from the way we have to love God. So I stop here because you want to watch another video, you know, about how co-op, I through the center, we facilitated a co-op. So now we have a co-op member like 120, and they produce many things. Muslim and Christian work together. And hopefully next year we can start to export to U.S. Tea, coffee, you know, many things that people like it. I got the request from First Presbyterian Church in Kerrville in Texas that they would like to have an alternative gift market from ours, but it has to be come to here in June 1st next year. So I have to work hard with the people there. But let's watch this video. Would you like to do that?
It'll take just a little bit of, it'll take a minute to load.
Yeah. I'm sorry if the caption what word is little bit little, but at least I already explained. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
The stock market has had its worst year since 1970, and there's nothing the Fed can do to stop it from falling. If anything.
Thank you, Corey.
Yeah, I think you can understand the conclusion is that university work not only teaching but also serve the larger society, and that is the witness. Duttawa China University was built by 12 churches in Indonesia. Thank you.
All right, well, let's all thank Dr. Fashana. We have a couple minutes yet for questions, if anyone has any other questions. I thought it was interesting that you know, you're thinking about kind of Muslims and Christians working together, finding common ground. In a way, it's sometimes almost secular, where you find that, like, the economic interest to start discussion, and then the cultural understanding kind of happens organically, yeah. Kind of on by the way. Yeah. I think that's what you said before, right? So, any questions from anyone?
That's so much.
Or comments?
I was just curious. Is that widespread support from the Indonesian federal government, or is that grassroots from the university, or what is that?
Yes, the co-op actually created by the member, the grassroots. And co-op has been one of the strength of Muslim understanding about development during the colonial time, because Sarekat Islam was a cooperation. They didn't have access to a market in the Western trading line. You know, before the Dutch came, the Portuguese came, the Muslim already have a network. But then when the Portuguese, the Western trader arrived, the network has been cut, and that is why the Muslim started to co-op. So co-op that we initiated is through the workshop. First of all, we did the workshop in the fields about how to become entrepreneur. And then we realized so many fields-based entrepreneur. And we train them, and then after finish, they say, could you help us to create that co-op? Because they wanted to meet us to continue working together. And that is the beginning of the process of building co-op. And now government has facilitated for that process.
Great. Thanks so much. We were now switching to coffee hour in this room. But if anyone has any other questions or want to continue discussions with Fashana, she'll be here for a bit.
Yeah.
And how much longer are you in the U.S.?
Until May next year.
Okay, great.
Yes.
And we'll see you around here, right? Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tim.